Salut, c'est votre animatrice Moni. Bienvenue au podcast. And I'm just kidding, I don't have the will to do this podcast in French tonight. However, I do want to make sure I include this tangent, a quick little story about the way people behave in public when, you know, maybe they didn't know and they know you in this language and God forbid you're interacting like fluently in a different language with someone else. And I think I'm going to guess that the feeling for them is like almost like, oh, who is this? I went to a party recently. I'm speaking a different language with someone, and someone else is kind of like close enough to listen, but like too cool to make it look like they're listening, you know, because they're very cool. And here we are just gigging. At this point, everyone's had a few drinks, you know, it's a good time, but then, you know, for me, it's about watching this person's body language. It's like, so you're just gonna stay in that position for that long? It's like, if you're a people watching person like me, and I don't mean to sound like a creep, but I just like observing people because they give off a lot of what they don't think they give off. It's like, so you're just going to crouch in that position for that long, close enough to listen, like, you seem very attentive there, buddy. And, you know, if you're a people watcher, you know what I mean. And here we are just gigging, and this person is just taking it in. Well, I don't know. Hope you picked up on a few things, because it wasn't that deep. The worst of it is that this is not like a, you know, version of self that I chose. I don't even know if you want to call it that, but it's not. Like, I always say that for me, one of my other languages was forced upon me, because when you're getting punished in school, like, okay, chewing gum, no problem, but speaking my mother tongue, like, you're punishing me. The trauma runs so deep. And, you know, I'm healing. Told my therapist and all, and she said, if you need to express in a different language, let me know. Like, no, sweetie, like, we can stick to English. Like, but I do have my my immigrant moments in session where I was like, oh, what's that word I'm looking for? And she's like, just say it to me in French, or what, you know, say it to me in, no, I like, but she's so sweet. And so shout out to all the therapists and the counselors out there, because you ground us, you know, all that chopping and yapping for that hour, you ground us, you know, you keep us anchored, because not everybody's anchored. And this is a hint, hint, nudge, nudge at my poem. And this piece, I call it My Rise. Enjoy. My rise. My rise is like a kite anchored to something, not like the nothing of soap bubbles in the light. Disappearing out of sight, they shine, might pop. But my rise, like a kite, flying gracious at the top and touching the sky, sway, the shiny flying orbs don't last, ever. Strings break, but give way for some time, long as the winds last. My rise is like a kite. Big secret, come closer. I'm definitely the person who asks the writers and the authors the off-the-cuff questions that most people probably don't care to ask, but I do. And I try to catch them on the one-on-one so that I'm not the weirdo raising my hand asking about, you know, their fears and anxieties about publishing things. And but nevertheless, I like to do it. And but there's also the good stuff, like when you feel pregnant with something, and that's something that I'm really enjoying, like sitting in. I sound so 33, but that's okay. I enjoy sitting in the feeling of I'm pregnant with something creative that I want to put out in the world. If you're a writer, if you produce anything, you know that feeling of there's something in me that I need to put out. And I think that's the creative urge, right? Kind of like showing up in your body and your spirit, wherever you want to put it, wherever is comfortable for you. But all of last week, the whole weekend. And today, finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to give birth to something. And I came up with this poem, with these two poems, actually. The first is longer. The second is smaller because Evo doesn't need so much attention, but it was worth writing anyways. It came to me after the first. So let's get into this poem. And here we go. See, evil takes no skill. It's easy to shoot and kill. But do choose good to ill. Like a fly or a butterfly, bring light, not plot and ply. Don't fires die faster than rivers dry? We all grew up with bullies and the evil kids on the playground. We grow up now and people are still bullies and they still do evil. But as an adult, evil clearly moves differently. But the essence of evil and bullying, it's not really different. At the end of the day, people will express their insecurities to you in ways that have nothing to do with you. And the older I get, the more that message seeps in. I'm not sure if it's resting yet, because obviously, when you're facing these episodes, you want to jump. But I've learned to take them in a little more, but snap back in a way that not only shows me having more grace, not being a sucker, of course not, but definitely snapping back, but adding grace to it. Because at the end of the day, bullies and people who do evil will continue, because for them, it feeds this emptiness that they have. No, you may have time to plot and ply, like I said in the poem, but I don't. I have things to do, and I promise you, I'll always find something to do. And if I'm not doing something, I'll read a book, I'll write a poem, I'll sing a song, I'll paint something, I'll draw something, or I'll fold my clothes and do my laundry, wash my dishes, clean my fridge, wash the floors, clean the bathroom, do my hair, fix my eyebrows, pluck my chin hairs, something. So, merry for you who choose to fill the emptiness inside of you by being mean to people, by plotting against people, by setting people up. What do you get out of it? Like I said, you're filling empty space inside of you, and I wish you well. I have a question that I want to dive in, maybe on the next podcast, and I'm hoping that I can do it and be very concise, but I'm going to start to bring facts and things that I'm seeing on social media, that even though I'm very happy that people are engaging in that way, but I also have concerns about the fact that there's a lot of good facts being put out there, you know, great opinions and great exposés on the actual truth of what's going on, you know, the histories. And there are many people doing that right now. There are people who are just now catching up to the harms and the home country down there. But my question is, if we're denying help, we're not willing to do it ourselves. So who's going to do it? Everyone always has these grand ideas about how to fix something that's been broken for a long time. But remember, a bone that never fuses, that keeps breaking, starts to lose its ridges. Yeah. So how are you going to fuse the bone if you have no experience fusing that bone yet? You insist on getting all the tools, you insist on getting the glue to fuse the bone. You know, the damn surgeons have no experience fusing these bones. The surgeons are getting rusty because they never finish an operation. You know, that patient never gets up to walk because The surgeons just don't have the skill. Hell, they barely have the tools, so I'm interested in, you know, thinking about what? Thinking about maybe trying to dive in and understand, like, what are our expectations when we say we don't want help from the outside? And I'm not saying that to judge. That's absolutely fair. We've seen what it's done before, but what should we do to bring back stability? I say bring back very, very loosely and lightly for a country that's had a history of turmoil, political unrest, and a series of occupations, known and unknown. So, do we let someone take our hand to go up the staircase because we've never gone up the staircase? Or do we say, no, I'm going to go pull my own cord and go up the staircase because I know how to do it and I can do it well? All those steps, you know, are full of holes and full of bumps and cracks. Will you make it up the stairs? So, I'm interested. That's a lot of metaphors, but it's honestly how I feel in the moment. And I think about this constantly sometimes. And other times I have to push it away in my mind, because when you're born and raised in the very country that the whole world is talking about now, being a byproduct of that unrest, being that my own family moved to the United States to escape that unrest, where bandits were like damn near about to kidnap us because, God forbid, you didn't want to do harm along with them, right? So I say that to say, then what's the plan to fuse the bone, to stand at the bottom of the steps and go up? Passer gon koto rive ou rasi. Est-ce qu'on a quitté mon kembe meo pour qu'on commence à monter escalier qui plein tout, qui plein crack la donne, pour qu'on arrive en côté et pour dire, m'prend force. Mais si en pile m'prend force, qu'on y a m'kabese d'homme, manger tout dans l'escalier, qu'on kembe en plan monter. Qu'est-ce qu'on a fait? I'm a singer. Of course I'm going to leave you with a song, even if you don't want to hear it. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. That was free.